Welcome to the Profit Business Cast, Canada's podcast for innovative entrepreneurs and executives. And brought to you by Bennett Gold LLP Chartered Accountants. Here is your host, Robert Gold.
Once again, from high atop the Business Cast Podcast Center in Toronto, live and in the morning, we're way off to the north. I can see Cape Croker, Ontario. I'm Robert Gold, Managing Partner at Bennett Gold LLP, Chartered Accountants in Toronto. And this podcast is produced in partnership with Profit Magazine and ProfitGuide.com. Today, we're going to have some fun. Ian Shamandy is with us. Ian is the co-author, Why Should I Choose You? Sevenwords.biz is the website. Ian, welcome to the Profit Business Cast.
Thank you very much.
I'm really excited about this book, Why Should I Choose You? Answering the most important question in business in seven words or less. And I've already started using the details and the hints from the book. But Ian, let's step back a little bit. Tell us first about yourself, and then why did you write Why Should I Choose You? What was your actual inspiration?
It was actually the inspiration of myself and my business partner, Ken Aber. We started this company about 10 years ago out of a discussion around a shared passion for strategic planning and a shared frustration for how it's done traditionally. We decided we wanted to go into that business, and we had to figure out how that process was broken. And what we realized is that it couldn't be fixed in its current form. So we just threw out that whole process and developed a whole new methodology that we thought was better suited to the marketplaces and economies of the future. And that's what we set out to do. And it evolved into a very defined methodology. And we wanted to share that with the world. We're sort of on a mission to say, for all you people who are frustrated with the way traditional planning is done, you know, going away on the two-day retreat, grinding through the same old boring agenda, having people whisper in the shadows and the breaks about what a waste of time it is, but doing it anyway, and then going back to work on Monday, rah, 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 new plan, and then by Thursday, they're back to the same old, for the people who are fed up with that process and its lack of results, we wanted to spread the word that there's an alternative, and we lay out the whole alternative, which we call blueprinting, in this book.
And in fact, you call yourself a business architect to make reference to the blueprinting.
And where that comes from, and I'm sure we'll get into this in a little bit more detail, at the core of our process is defining who you are as a business in seven words or less, and then having that become the strategic filter that guides everything that the company does and says from that point on. That short phrase, what we call your core proposition, ends up guiding the entire architecture of your business, every part of it and everything it does and everything it says. So that's why we call ourselves business architects.
Well, a lot of our listeners across the country are hearing this and going, describing myself or our company in seven words or less, it's not possible. Having read the book, I know it's very possible. Why don't you share with us a couple of examples of seven words or less that adequately and better describe a corporation or an entity?
We've worked with companies big and small, from big banks and national companies to startups to everything in between. About a third of our practices in the world of philanthropy, working with hospitals and charities and universities and places like that. But the company that we like to talk about does retail shelving. And what I mean by that is Home Depot builds a box. They go in and put up all the rack shelving. And once they're done, the store opens. They hired us to blueprint that company. So as we're sitting, taking them through our process, having the in-depth conversations about what business they are really in, it became apparent that what was central to them was the idea that because they had been in business three generations, whereas most of their competitors were 5 or 10 years, that they had developed techniques and processes and systems and procedures that allowed them to get finished significantly faster. So you can imagine if they get a Home Depot done a week or two faster than any of their competitors, that means the store can open a week or two sooner, and that's a week or two of retail sales that it wouldn't otherwise have. And that's north of $1 million a week for a Home Depot. And really, that's the only metric we care about is money. So as we're having this conversation about getting finished faster, one of their executives says, you know, in our signs where it says opening soon, I want ours to say opening sooner. And everybody in the room just sort of sat back and said, that's brilliant. That is really brilliant. And that became their seven words or less, or what we call the core proposition. So this company was not in the business of retail shelving because all of their competitors are in that business as well. What makes them uniquely remarkable in that category is the fact that they get finished faster, and that's expressed as opening sooner. So opening sooner became the strategic filter that guided every decision they made and every action they took after that. And that's not just the leadership. That's everybody in the company gets immersed in the blueprint, and then they're able to live it. And at the core of their blueprint is the notion of opening sooner.
So I understand what you said earlier about companies and executives going off on strategy sessions and it just not working. I've experienced that many times myself. At various boards that I might volunteer with, we go off, we do these board retreats, and we come back, and by the next meeting, it's business as normal. We fall into our old traps. But having said that, why did you think it was important for you and Ken to write this book now?
There's two reasons, and one is completely practical, that we didn't develop this methodology magically out of one or two meetings. It was something that evolved over time. And as we saw it crystallize, we said, okay, this is something now that's very well defined that we can start to communicate to the world. So there's that practical point to it. The other thing is, as the internet ramps up as a factor in our lives, and we do believe that it's still in the ramping up process, it's still in the baby steps process, but as it started to ramp up really from the mid-90s on and really gain steam around 2004, 2005, what it did is it started to render many of the traditional business practices that were developed post-Second World War in institutions like Harvard and Stanford business schools and in big companies like General Motors and IBM and Procter & Gamble, started to render those things to be either obsolete or no longer enough. And I'm talking about things like mission, vision and value, selling with features and benefits, those kinds of things that for decades and decades were axioms of business, and now they're not working anymore. When the traditional stuff starts to falter, something has to come along to replace it that improves it, and this is what we feel that we've developed, if I can be modest, that we've developed a model for planning that affects the way a business operates every minute of every day, that eliminates those things that don't work and replaces them with things that do work.
Now, do you think this is an appropriate book? Why should I choose you for any size entity, a two-partner law firm, a 20-size distribution company, or a 200-person, almost national company?
So I'm going to take it even smaller than that. Everybody should have their own personal blueprint. Everybody should be able to define what makes themselves uniquely remarkable in 7 words or less. We've all sat there reading resumes and that little blurb at the top that says, I want to leverage my skills to help a company grow faster and better so that I can feel good about that and they can, you know, it's that kind of finality that you read at the top. Whereas if somebody can say, this is who I am, and it's tangible and substantive and inspiring, that resume is going to stick out like a sore thumb. So you can take it right down to the individual, but we've also done big national and multinational corporations that have hundreds of different business lines, but you can still tie it all together into a single focus for the organization because all of those hundreds of different things are just going to be a variation on a theme, and that theme is, who is this company?
Two things I want to bring to light in this conversation. That is, in the last little while, I've had reason to hire some internal staff. And I've had your book, not on my desk, but hidden on the floor. And I would keep glancing at it. And I'd come back at the end of the interview. And I'd say, you know, one final question, Mrs. Smith. Why should I choose you? And just see where they go. And of course, they don't do it in 7 words. They start to ramble because everybody knows why you should choose me. I'm this, I'm that, I'm everything else. But it doesn't quite fit the question you're asking in an interview because people aren't aware of how to phrase and how to answer that question. But more importantly, to the point, I've had meetings with my partners in the last couple of weeks. I have a number of prospects. I put the book out there. I said, you guys better be prepared to answer the question, why should I choose you? And if they don't raise it, you ask it of yourself and you tell them why they should choose you. And here's some hints on how to get there. Now, we haven't gone through a firm blueprinting, but still the clue, why should I choose you and be able to answer it succinctly and effortlessly? I think it's like magic in a discussion with a prospect.
Let me give you an example in a job opportunity where both succeeded and failed spectacularly. Maybe 5 or so years ago, we were looking for an assistant, and a school that we're associated with sent us two prospects. One of the prospects, we had spoken at the school maybe 2 months before, and she came to the interview and she said, my 7 words or less is putting the pink in everything. She was a larger-than-life woman, blonde, makeup, but knew how to use it really well, nail polish and the whole bit. Like I said, her 7 words or less was putting the pink in everything. And we had a conversation with her about what the job entailed, and we both came to the conclusion at the end of the interview that she was not right for it, not because she wasn't good enough, but because this job was not about putting the pink in everything, but a job in fashion is. we didn't hire her, and that's the spectacular failure from her part. She didn't get a job, but she knew why, and we knew why, and we parted company best of friends because we all realized it wasn't the right fit. But it was understanding who she was at her core and being able to communicate that to us that brought us to that conclusion. And what I've just described is sort of the microcosmic level of one of the things that a core proposition or seven words or less does. But you can apply that microcosmic example to a company that has 70,000 employees, which is one of the clients that we blueprinted.
So let's say we have a listener in Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario. They have a manufacturing company, say 20, 25 people. There's three or four people in the executive suite. Do they need to bring in you and Ken as business architects, or can they take the book, Why Should I Choose You, and enable their own group, their own staff, their own people in shipping and receiving to think along these lines and get to the core?
Yes and no. The yes is, when we were writing this book, we wrote a first draft and we read through it and we said, we don't like this. This is not telling enough. It's not delivering value. So we started asking people, look, should we spill all the beans? Should we describe our methodology in detail and give away the crown jewels? And everybody said, yes, you have to do that. So that's what we did in the book. Now, having said that, there will be people who are able to do it. The person I just told you about who applied for a job with us was able to do it. But it's very, very difficult because it's sort of like trying to do therapy on yourself. And I can't tell you how many of our clients, once their blueprint was done, said that sounded like going through a six-week intensive psychotherapy session for the company. So you need, and I know this is going to sound self-serving, but you are likely going to need the outside perspective and the skill set that allows for the outside perspective to call you when necessary, recognize strengths that you don't recognize and accentuate them when they appear, and really build on clever ideas that you know are clever, but the full value of them isn't being brought out, and then figuring out how to coalesce that into one phrase, clear, concise, and compelling, that ties a bow around all of those things. So can you do it? Yes. It will be difficult, though, just because everybody in the room will have drunk the company Kool-Aid, and you need to break out of that in order to do a successful blueprint.
So I think this leads to my next question, which is, after reading Why Should I Choose You? And again, it's seven words, number seven, sevenwords.biz online, and the book is available online everywhere, of course. But after reading Why Should I Choose You? What are the three things that you think entrepreneurs will be able to do that they couldn't do before reading this book?
Probably the single most important thing is they will be able to make decisions far more confidently and decisively. Because that seven words or less, as we said earlier, guides every decision you make and every action you take. Let's go back to our shelving company. When your core proposition is opening sooner, you weigh every decision you make and every action you take against that statement. Is what I am contemplating going to make a material difference in getting our clients open faster or not? And if it is, then it's something that is aligned with who you are. And if it isn't, then you know to take that off the table. Or if somebody else is proposing something, saying, I think we should do this, it gives everybody in the room a single common decision point that you can compare that idea to, and you have to rationalize it against that. Is this aligned with who we are or isn't it? So that's one of the most important things, if not the most important thing. And I just said it from a leadership standpoint, but if everybody knows the blueprint, all the people at the front lines will be able to do the same thing. They will be able to make clearer and more confident decisions in their jobs about what they're doing to help the company grow. The second thing is, people perform much better when they have a sense of purpose. The seven words or less is never a statement that says, we do this or we do that. It is a statement of a sense of purpose or a cause. So opening sooner is the cause that this shelving company is committed to. When you have something like that, and when you really live up to it, as this company did, it gives you a sense of purpose and a sense of pride. And when people have that, they contribute at a higher level. Then the third thing is, you'll be able to make sales faster and easier. And the reason for that is that the seven words or less of the core proposition is always an articulation of what all the people associated with the company are buying, not what you're selling. And those are two fundamentally different things. When you think about our shelving company, what they're selling is their ability to execute, their ability to project manage, their ability to do good client service and that sort of thing. But what the customer is buying is opening sooner. You can see how those are two fundamentally different things. The customer doesn't care about what you do. The customer cares about what he or she gets. And when you articulate your sales story from the perspective of what he or she gets, you'll be able to actually inspire them to buy rather than struggling to convince them to buy.
So, Ian, when you and Ken were writing this book, short of not liking your first version, what did you guys learn that you hadn't expected to learn?
Writing a book is really, really hard.
That cannot have been a surprise to you.
No, what was a surprise was just how hard it was, because it took us about 7 years to write it from when we very first started it to when we got it published. That was something that was a huge challenge. I think that one of the things that we discovered, or not so much discovered, but had enhanced, was a sense of pride. And again, I don't mean to be immodest, but we worked hard to develop a very robust methodology over these years, and to actually see it in writing was quite incredible. And another thing is, we interviewed a lot of clients 5 years later, 7 years later, 2 years later about the impacts of their blueprint. And some of them almost brought us to tears. The work that Baycrest is doing, Baycrest Hospital, its core proposition is innovation and aging. And they are now essentially franchising long-term care facilities in China, where the care of an aging population is a massive problem there. And they're the ones providing the intellectual property, the expertise to a chain of long-term care facilities that are opening over there. The work that United Van Lines has done, the work that VHA has done, it's just really inspiring and very gratifying to us that businesses have been so successful.
So I have to ask you this question as I'm trying to wrap up, but this is too fascinating for me. One of the chapters in your book, Chapter 10, New Revenue Streams, the subtitle is Discovering Money Hiding in Your Blind Spot. How does this book help us finding that money that's hiding in our blind spot?
Every business operates with blinders on. We do, you do, everybody does. There's just no way around that. And those blind spots are determined by how you define what business you're in. So if you think of Blockbuster, back when it existed, it had blind spots because it defined itself as a place that rented movies and TV shows and technology accessories, and then sold all the junk food that you eat while you're watching those movies and TV shows. And because its definition of itself was so narrow, its blinders were close together. And it didn't see opportunities for revenue that existed outside of those blinders. And what we know today is that there's two massive companies that Blockbuster should have bought when they were in their infancy, and it would have transformed from a bricks and mortar place that rents movies to Netflix and YouTube. Should have bought both of those companies. It was offered Netflix for $50 million at one point. The cost of $50 million is pocket change compared to the cost of the failure of the company. And all but for having a proper definition of who they are, that from a juxtapositional standpoint creates greater focus to how you run the business, but actually widens the blinders so that you can see things that are sitting out there, but that were out of your view with the narrow definition of your company.
Ian Shamandy, co-author, along with Ken Aber, the co-authors of Why Should I Choose You? 7, number 7, 7words.biz. Ian, thank you for being a guest on the Profit Business Cast.
Thank you very much, Robert.
And until next time, I'm Robert Gold, managing partner of Bennett Gold LLP, chartered accountants in Toronto. If you want to make your business decisions more confidently, give us a shout. Check us out at bennettgold.ca. You can find other great episodes of the Profit Business Cast at profitguide.com. See you next time in the morning, everyone. And good night, Kate Croker, Ontario.
You've been listening to the Profit Business Cast, Canada's business podcast, and brought to you by Bennett Gold LLP, Chartered Accountants. From acceleration to succession, strategy to tax planning, there's a lot more through the door at bennettgold.ca.